Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
The Party Shop at Michaels has thousands of items starting at just 99 cents. Plus, get free inflation with purchase of select balloons. Want more party planning pro tips? You can hide anything behind streamers. Glitter is your best friend and possibly magical. If you ever wonder, do I have enough balloons? You probably don't. And most importantly, if Michaels doesn't have it, your party doesn't need it. Now you can party like a pro with the Party Shop at Michaels. Everything you need to celebrate anything.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
And let me present Julie Wisenhorn from the U of M. You'll always be connected to the U of M in our hearts, Julie.
Well,
for sure.
I'm grateful for that and happy to be on this morning on this day of, I guess, the official first day of spring.
It is,
full day,
yeah.
The full day. And it's going to be, what,
76. I got to ask you, I'm not sure if any mosquitoes will be coming alive if I work in my garden today, but it's one day, and I assume that it's not going to hurt any of our shrubs or fool them because it's going to be 45 tomorrow.
Yeah, I think we're okay if it's just one day, but boy, we're looking at a trend of pretty warm weather coming up, you know, 50s and 40s. And so I think as this is when you really prove your stuff as a gardener in Minnesota, and also the patience that you have for just watching and observing and then kind of keeping track of what's going on in your landscape. So, yeah, patience is important at this time of year because it does fluctuate quite a bit. We could have snow next week. Who knows?
I think that's a good word year-round for gardeners, isn't it, patience?
Yeah, exactly.
Come to think of it. What can we do right now, though? I mean, forget the 76 today, but what can we do indoors maybe to eventually put outdoors right now?
Can I
start tomatoes or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So seed starting is in full swing with gardeners, and you can start your seeds indoors. We have a lot of excellent information on starting seeds. Laura's done a great job on Hort Shorts. These are little, you know, 2-minute videos about specific topics, and there's a number of them about starting seeds and then taking care of those transplants as they mature. But we also have a great website on starting seeds, too. It talks about the light that you would need, about how to start seeds directly, and also in containers in your house. So be sure to read those and take a look at those. And then we have such great greenhouses and nurseries here in Minnesota that they have lots of people who can help you select seeds and then also talk about, you know, what kind of seed starting mix do I need and what size container should I start these in? Should they be under lights? How warm does it have to be? All those different important questions if you've never started seeds. So take advantage of our local nurseries and greenhouse experts as well as Extension.
Well, you're right. We do have some great ones all around. We're so fortunate to have so many good ones. And some mom-and-pop places that are kind of neat to visit, too, you know?
Yeah. Everybody should, you know, everyone has a local favorite place to go, I think.
Yeah.
And or a couple of them, like me.
Yeah. Support the local business. Always
exactly.
Good idea.
Important.
You can support us in a way if you have a lawn or garden question. You can call Julie or text Julie, whichever is easier. And we have a bunch of texts already. But here's the number for either a phone call or a text. 651-461-9226. You know that number. Here's a question for Julie. Is it still safe to trim bur oak trees?
Boy, we're coming up pretty close to the deadline for that. So oaks are susceptible to oak wilt, and we see that disease spreading from April 1st to the middle of July. That's the high-risk time for oak wilt. After that, it kind of goes down. We get a lower risk up until about November. The safest time to prune is in the winter when the plants are dormant. We're getting pretty close, but you can still prune oak trees for like maybe another week. But I wouldn't go much further than that. And if you don't have to prune it, if maybe it's okay, but you kind of wanted to change the shape a bit, I would personally hold off until we get to until next winter and do that, because we're really getting touchy on that temperature and things start to come out of dormancy. And but you can probably get your pruning in this weekend.
Okay, do it quickly. What about other trees as well?
Other trees you can prune at this time. If you prune things like birch trees or maple trees, you're going to find that they're going to leak some sap. And that's perfectly normal. It's not going to hurt the tree. So just be aware of that. You can certainly prune evergreens at this time. And by that, I mean pruning like arborvitae hedges and, some of the more bushier evergreens. We don't really recommend pruning pines or spruce. Just because we really want that nice conical shape or that natural shape of those plants. Sometimes you have to, though. Sometimes you have a branch that's growing into a doorway or crossing a window, and you could still prune those now.
Okay, very good. Let's head to my city where I had my second radio job, Owatonna, Minnesota. Roger is checking in from there. Roger, good morning. What can we do for you?
Good morning. You may have just answered my question. I'd called in before I got to those. I was curious to know about ponderosa pine, Sienna Glen maples, and crabapple trees, all three of those. I didn't know if the sap was a problem right now, but I guess one more time if she could comment. I think I heard her, but I'll listen again.
Okay, sure, Roger. I'd be happy to, Roger. So so maple trees are going to, you can prune those now. They're just be aware they're going to leak sap, and that's normal. With ponderosa pines, if you really have to prune them, you could do that now, but we really don't recommend pruning them because we like that nice natural shape of those plants. Crab apples, I'm really glad you brought that up because I left out fruit trees. Crab apples, production apples, any of the, prunus, any of those that you want to prune, now you can do. This is a good time to do those plants as well. So I have a little bit of pruning on my Red Splendor crab to do at my house.
Julie, there was a place, maybe it's still there. I hope it still is. There was a candy shop, a little kind of a restaurant, sweet place called Costas, right on Main Street in Owatonna. Best caramels in the world. Oh, they were. I wonder if it's still there.
Yeah, maybe Roger.
In fact, I owe my old boss, Todd Hill, a lunch yet, so I got to do that. In the meantime, yes, Carmel's for lunch. Yeah. Phone us, text us, 651-461-9226. This listener is moving in a couple of weeks, would like to take my peonies with me. How should I dig them up?
Oh, boy. Right now, you could not dig them up, probably because it's going to be too frozen, the soil still, and too cold. And peonies have very long, pretty meaty, tuberous roots. And so it's going to be a challenge. You might want to actually see if you can arrange with the new homeowner of your house to come back when it's warmer and to dig those up. Ideally, we don't transplant peonies until maybe August, July, later in the season. We let them bloom and go through their bloom cycle and then do the transplanting. So I would coordinate maybe with the new owner of the property to come back and dig some of those up. I'm not sure you're going to get much of the peony root and sufficient amount of it at this time of year. It's going to be a challenge.
Boy, I remember when I moved from Southwest Minneapolis, I had the peonies, and the neighbor next door said, "Would you mind transplant? Can I have them?" And you're right. I was like digging to China to get them up. But they lived. She grew them.
They do. And peonies are important in the fact that when you transplant them, you want to plant them at the same level that they were growing before. And they do take a few years to rebloom sometimes. So they have to kind of get back, you know, get established in their new location and then, you know, put their energy into producing a bud instead of reestablishing themselves. We have a great video that Dr. Brandon Miller did on transplanting and planting bare root peonies. So that's a really helpful thing if people are buying bare root peonies, if they're moving peonies, is to take a look at that video. It's a great video.
Very good. Before we take a break, Ona Willard, Jerry, and Keith on the phone, don't go away. We're going to get to your calls right after this break. In the Twin Cities, we're at 44 degrees. Believe it or not, we're heading to near 76 today, not quite as warm tomorrow. We'll only get up to about 45. 44 now here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. If you're just tuning in, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is back with us. Glad to have Julie here on the radio. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Speaking, Julie, of callers, we have some. Jerry, first up here, calling from St. Paul. Thanks for hanging on, Jerry. What is your question?
My question is dethatching. I know fall is probably the proper way, the best time to dethatch your lawn, but can I do it in, say, May, or when the ground starts getting a little more not so wet? Is that permissible? What do you think?
I wish John was on for this one. Dethatching is normally not needed in Minnesota. It's and it usually occurs when there's a lot of material from grass cuttings, from clippings and things that are building up and bulking up in a lawn, and it's causing issues for the crowns of the plants. But usually our clippings will break down fast enough that we don't need to dethatch. So that's the first thing is I'd say, do I need to dethatch? And then if you do, I think John would recommend definitely waiting until, you know, doing it in the fall. It can be really hard on grass plants, and especially in the spring when they're just coming, you know, they're emerging from the winter and they're just starting, the blades are starting to come up and they're greening up, and the soil is quite soft also. So it can maybe do more damage than good. And so number one, understand if you need it or not. And number two, then go ahead and, you know, probably wait till fall if you can. So a good raking might do enough in a home garden or home landscape to remove that extra, any extra grass clippings that are in there.
Very good. Thank you, Jerry. Keith is on the horn calling from Lake Elmo, I believe. Keith, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Julie?
I have a magnolia tree that has developed scale. Two questions. Does it overwinter somehow, and will it come back? Or what is the best treatment for scale on magnolia?
Oh, I wish you could see my face because I made a big cringing face. magnolia scale is a really difficult insect to control. So a scale is a sucking insect, and it will suck out the juices of the plant, and it's protected by a covering that grows naturally over it, kind of like a little armor. And the problem with it is it's difficult to spray it because of that protective covering. So unlike things like aphids or other sucking insects that are, you know, like mealybugs, you can't get to the bug very easily. So we use something called a systemic pesticide, which is added to the soil around the plant, watered in, and then the plant actually, it dissolves and the plant takes it up through its roots, and then it goes through the branches, the leaves, the flowers, everything, and any sucking insects are going to suck up that pesticide and it will kill them. The problem is it takes a while to happen. It's not a really fast way to control that. And so if you've had magnolia scale, you're going to have it again this year. They do overwinter. And so I think the issue is, what I would do probably is, if it's a really prized tree, and it sounds like it is for you, I would contact a certified arborist to come in and evaluate the severity of the scale, and then also probably do some treatments for that scale. I think it's well worth the money if it's a great plant in your yard. Magnolias are gorgeous. They're really fantastic. And I think that that would probably be the best way to do that. And we have a good website under Trees and Shrubs that talks about how to hire a certified arborist and the kinds of questions you want to ask them. So I would go with that, and that might be the best direct method to treating that scale.
Very good. Listener says this, I still have my tulips covered up so the animals won't eat the bulbs. Should I uncover them today?
No, I'd leave those just right the way they are because those animals are going to be munching away on them, and it sounds like you did a good job protecting them. So I'd leave them out there, let them grow through the covering, maybe peel some of it away as you start to see the green spikes coming up.
Okay. This listener has a perennial in the rock landscape around my steel-sided house, which faces south. Should I or can I remove the leaf-filled styrofoam cone today?
I wouldn't be too anxious to uncover things as of yet. We're not in a steady temperature. I guess, you know, our temperatures are really variable at this time. I think I would probably just hold off and you know, take another couple of weeks to do that kind of work.
There goes that word patience again.
Yeah, that patience word. Yeah, exactly.
This listener wants you to explain the life cycle of the rose sawfly because I want to know if there's anything to treat the soil around the plant before spring growth begins.
I am not the one to ask for that, unfortunately. Sawflies appear early in the season, and they are the caterpillars, which are the life cycle of the insect that are feeding on our plants, are around for a couple of weeks. Then they drop to the ground, they burrow in the ground, they pupate, and then they emerge as the adults, which are flies who go on to lay eggs. Sawflies can be oftentimes washed off of plants. You can treat your soil, and you want to just choose a pesticide, like we were talking about with the scale, that is a systemic pesticide that can be taken up by the plant, and then as those sawflies feed on the plant, they ingest that pesticide and it kills them. So a good garden center should be able to advise you on what to put in the soil and when to do it. Temperature is important when you're applying things to soil, particularly pesticides, because you don't want to apply something needlessly and have it sit there dormant, or you want it to actually dissolve and become active in the soil and so that the plant can take them up. Yeah, sawflies there's a lot of different kinds of sawflies, and that's what I would recommend for your roses.
Okay. Interesting question here via text. Both Metro newspapers reported news of a 2031 World Horticultural Expo to be built in Dakota County. Do you know anything about this?
Never heard of that before. A horticulture expo, what would that actually look like?
I'm not sure. Maybe someone knows. Someone will probably send us a text.
I might have to look that up.
Yeah. Well, here's another text. Hi, Julie. Please tell us how long to wait before you kind of address this. Raking, clearing yards, et cetera. I've seen too many people doing that already.
Yeah. I think the issue is we think that we can go out because the grass is greening up a little bit that we should be raking it. And to be honest, right now the soil is still very cold. It's still very wet, and we want to hold off until that soil is dried out. Raking right now would do more damage than good. So what you can do, though, if you're really anxious, is you can go out and do some cutting back. If you've got, like I've got some peonies, mentioning peonies earlier, that are, you know, the dead part of the plant is there. I could go out there and trim those off. You want to stay off your lawns as much as possible, especially if they're very wet and muddy, because you're going to compact that soil down. And that's going to make it harder for your grass plants to do well this season.
Sounds good. Before we break for weather, let's have another phone call. Bruce, in from Woodbury today. Thank you for calling, Bruce. What's your question for Julie?
Hi, good morning. I've got, when the snow melted last couple weeks ago, I saw in the grass there were tracks from voles or moles or mice, something that lived under the snow. I'm wondering what's the best way to get rid of those. I think they're living under the driveway.
Okay. So they might be voles. So voles look like mice with really short tails and a little bit smaller ears. And they love to tunnel under snow. They do live in longer grasses around plants. They feed on the roots and they can girdle trees and they can girdle stems of shrubs as well. There's not much to do to treat them, though. basically exposing them. They are little tiny defenseless critters, and they do not want to be seen by the predators, such as, you know, hawks and other predatory birds. So best thing to do is just maybe rake away those rake away the debris piles. And I'm just getting a message from John here on my phone. He just says some raking might be needed to if there's piles of debris. So if you see kind of piles of grass or leaves, just rake those gently away and it kind of expose that area that the voles have been living in. And they'll eventually go find some other place to live.
All right, very good. Julie, hang on, please. We'll take a break and listen to this forecast. Summer for one day here this first full day of spring, and then we'll have more lawn and garden talk. Call us, Texas, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830 WCCO. And if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today. You know, Julie, we have not talked about one of my favorite places, the Arboretum. I know one of yours near and dear to your heart. What's going on these days at the Arb?
Well, today is Maple Fest.
Ooh.
And they've been tapping trees and gathering that sap, and people can come on out and learn about tapping trees and learn about how syrup is made. There is syrup for sale. It's last year's syrup, obviously, because they're boiling this year's syrup. But that's a really nice gift, by the way, to give people who are visiting Minnesota, or if you're going someplace outside of the state, or if you just have a really great neighbor. So that's happening today. The other event that's coming up, and this is a for-fee event, so it's a full day. It's called the Arboretum Bird Day. It's coming up April 25th. It's got bird walks. There are keynote speakers, experts from the Raptor Center, including some of the live raptors. Great, great sessions. If you are a birder, this is the place to be on April 25th. It's a full day. Loads of information, famous authors around the area. Stan Tekla, for example, is going to be there. Really, really a solid bird day for people who are birders. I am not a birder, but I'm considering going because I might want to become one now that I'm retired, so to speak. But yeah, it looks like a really great event. It's a new event at the Arboretum, and something that I think if you're interested at all in learning about birds, this is a great opportunity to kick off your birding season.
You know, it's something I learned several years ago, Julie, about the top two leisure time activities in America is not sports. It's not it encompasses it more than sports. Sports, forget it. It's the number one is gardening. The number two, birding.
Yeah.
It just kind of blew me away when I found out. But so many people love that.
Yeah, and they really kind of go together, too, because we have information on plants for birds. You know, birds feed a lot on the seeds of some of our perennial plants, particularly our native plants. And so if you're a birder and you want to attract birds to your yard, growing plants is a great way to do it. I don't put out bird feeders because it attracts squirrels and raccoons and, you know, my dog licks up the seeds on the ground and kind of makes a big mess. But I do plant an awful lot of plants that birds will feed on, like finches and some of the chickadees and the jays and whatnot. So and then creating habitat for birds in your yard. So this is a great way to kind of build your bird inventory. I've heard people who go out birding, they have a list. And they're looking for it to check off as many of those birds as possible each year for their bird inventory. So, but looks like a great event.
Yeah,
super cool.
I should
so
say.
You do have to register for it, and there is a fee for it. So check that out at the arb.umn.edu.
Arb.umn.edu. Very good. Listener wants to know what can be done to protect tulips and daffodils from rabbits.
Oh, fencing. It's really the only thing you can do. To protect them at this time of the year. So that's hard because you scatter your bulbs sometimes around the area. I did have, and this is just a personal experience, I have had kind of good luck with Milorganite, which is a fertilizer actually, but it has a kind of a repelling nature. There are also repellents that you can purchase to spray on plants or that are granular to put around plants, so you can check those out as well. But really, truly, a fence is really going to protect it, that barrier between the plant and the animal.
Same with deer, right? fence.
Same with deer.
Barriers, yes.
Yep. Yes.
Texter says, my Christmas cactus is looking unhappy. It has had tiny little buds that are not blooming. It's in a 10 to 12 inch pot. Does it need to be repotted? It's been a blooming beautiful in the past, however.
Oh, interesting. So one of the things I see most often with Christmas cactus or holiday cactus, as we sometimes call them, is that they get overwatered. They oftentimes arrive in our houses in a lovely decorative pot, and then there's another pot that the plant actually is in that's a plastic kind of, you know, nursery pot. And people tend to water them, and they don't take them out of those decorative pots and make sure that they're draining well. So you might want to take it out, look at the roots, and it is a good time to repot it at this point. But make sure that it's not getting too wet. These are plants that technically in life are epiphytes. In other words, they grow without soil, and they do a good job of managing themselves that way. But you really don't want to have a lot of water for these plants. So take a look at that. The other thing to bear in mind, too, is if your plant has been blooming robustly for the season and now is looking a little sad, it can oftentimes be because the plant has expended so much energy into that blooming that it just kind of looks a little wrinkly, maybe. If you've been watering it and letting it drain really well and you're kind of mystified by that, just think of the energy that the plant has to put into blooming and just give it a break. You know, keep watering it, taking care of it, it should pop back up pretty soon.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Reed calling in from North Branch this morning. Reed, thank you. What is your question for Julie?
I'm wondering, is it too early to plant my hot pepper seeds today?
You can plant them inside, but don't plant them outside. So, yeah, this would be a great time to plant pepper seeds. They take about 8 weeks to really become really robust transplants. So this is a good time to do that. Yes.
All right. Very good.
Indoors.
Listener said 3 weeks ago, I asked about dragon wing begonia potted in October, was told to pinch it back. I did that. Still not growing again. What now? Fertilize?
No, I think this is a patience thing. It takes a while for those plants to recover from some of that. And I think as the days get longer and the temperatures warm up and you can get it outside, you're going to see that it's going to come back okay.
Okay. This listener wants to know, when can I move my lavender? I have two lavender plants outside and want to move one.
Don't move any plants right now. It's too wet, it's too muddy, and the soil is quite cold. Even though it feels warm on the surface where the sun is hitting it, if you put your fingers down there a few inches, it's going to be quite chilly. So just leave the plants alone for now. Don't move them, and just give it a few more weeks. We've got to get past this kind of chilly weather that we've been having. Even
patience.
If it's going to be 76 degrees today, which
patience.
I can't believe.
And this text will probably get the same answer. Should we pull back the winter mulch covering our flower beds?
No, just wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at the order your seeds, get your seeds started, just kind of relax and take a few weeks before you start doing that kind of thing.
This listener via text wants to know, when's the best time to put sod down, and are there different varieties like shady or sunny areas? How about sod?
Yeah, so there, I believe there are different sod types, so you can check that with your supplier if it's a garden center, nursery, landscape company, whatever it is. You can check on that. Sod, our grasses that grow in Minnesota are cool season grasses, so they grow best in the spring. And they grow best in the fall. And so sodding would be done when, the soil has to warm up. It's got to dry out a little bit. And then go ahead and, you want to talk with your sod supplier as well. It may be, it's up to them when they get their sod in. So it should be coming into greenhouses in the next month or so. But then, you could lay your sod down as it warms up a little bit. It's still really early to do things like that.
This listener says, I should have turned the radio on sooner. I just now turned it on and heard the talk of arborvitae. Is it okay to trim it now, or should I wait? My arborvitae hedge, which consists of 45 feet, is about 30 years old.
Yeah.
What do you think in that case?
I think that you could probably do some selective trimming. Usually we trim arborvitae. I misspoke a little bit earlier. We usually do trimming. We do what's called a loose shear on arborvitae, which is where we take a shear, whether it's a manual one, you know, two blades, or if it's an electric shear, and you just shear off the newest growth. So you want to wait till you see that new growth, and that will be coming, of course, you know, as the weather warms up. So then you would go and kind of knock that down a little bit. But you don't want to shear too tightly, or you're going to create a lot of growth where you make those cuts, and it's going to basically create a mat of growth, and nothing will grow inside of the, you know, beyond that point. So it's just kind of wait on some of that until you see that new growth, and then you can do your shearing.
Okay. This listener wants to know, when can I transplant rhubarb plants?
They can be transplanted in when the weather warms up, probably in the next month, and you'll start to see them when they start to actively grow out of the ground. That's a good time to transplant them. And the best, and the reason for that is it has the entire season. This is true of lots of perennials, but it has an entire season for that plant to recover. But it's also much easier to manage that plant. Rhubarb are huge, and you'll get a really nice growth on that plant then for this season. If you wait till they've established and grown and you've been picking them, they tend to have a harder time recovering at that point. So spring is a good time to transplant that.
You know, Julie, we haven't talked really about dormant seeding yet today, and I'm looking at a text that says this. I dormant seeded 6 pounds of grass seed before the big snowstorm last week. It's in a south-facing, sunny area. Snow has melted with no rain forecast. I'm concerned the grass seed will dry out in the coming weeks. Do I need to water the area, and how do I decide? Now, what do you think? Is this person safe with that seed now?
Well, you had a lot of snow, so that was great. And that snow helps to work that seed down into the soil as it melts. And it gets better seed-to-soil contact at that point. So I think that if you're concerned about it, if it's a really dry area, for example, if you feel that soil and it's, boy, it's quite dry down, maybe it's a slope or it's a southern exposure, it wouldn't hurt to add a little bit of water to it. But it should probably be okay at this point. We're definitely going to be getting some more rain before that seed germinates. Right now, it's okay to leave it lying dormant and just let it naturally germinate as the weather warms up. So I think you're okay not to water it.
Okay, good. Good luck with
that.
I
think you'll be fine.
We talked a little bit about my second radio job in Owatonna, and I talked about that
yes.
candy store.
Yeah, is it
well,
there?
Well, Elizabeth from Owatonna sent me and said, note, hey, Danny, Costas is bigger and better than ever. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I got to visit.
Go.
And Todd Hale is still an integral part of Owatonna.
No.
One of my favorite radio bosses of all time. This
wow.
guy. I still owe him. It's going to be a big lunch this time.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
I did
very good.
I did an internship when I was lived in Rochester at I think it was at KROC, and
sure,
yeah, Joel Schwanke was my mentor, I guess, for 3 weeks of my internship.
That was your internship in the radio biz. Well, now look,
now look
what you've become. All right, Julie, hang on. We're going to take a break, and I'll be right back with more Smart Garden here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is answering those questions today. Julie, you and I were just briefly mentioning educational opportunities. Maybe you
right.
could fill us all in.
Yeah, so if you have any more questions, first of all, you can visit Yard and Garden on extension.umn.edu. And we have master gardeners you can send questions to. But we also have a whole lot of events, educational events for people about all different kinds of topics, including things like our horticulture days that are around the state. We have apple pruning workshops that are around the state, as well as grape pruning workshops. They're in different locations, so maybe you can find one that suits your needs. There's also a seed starting indoor class I see that's up at the Clay County Family Service Building. A lot of bee workshops as well, too. So take a look at some of those. Some are online as well, so you can do them at your leisure. But great information and great opportunities for further education, along with classes at the Arboretum as well.
Very good. Looking at a text, Julie, that's asked this, do home gardeners use herbicides? If so, how do they use them, and how do they avoid contamination of vegetables and themselves?
That's a very, very long question. People do use herbicides. They use pesticides, which is the general term for herbicides, insecticides, miticides, rodenticides, all fungicides, all of the different kinds of chemicals we use to control pests. And the people should be reading the labels. The labels are a legal document on how to use and protect yourself when you're doing that. Hopefully everybody's doing that. That is our goal in Extension, is that people are safe, that their neighbors are safe, and that they are using the chemicals safely. So we do have a pesticide section that is on our Extension site, which you can read a little bit more about. But the key is to read the label. First of all, decide if you need a pesticide. Lots of times our problems are cultural, and it's the way that we're managing our landscapes. And we can actually correct a lot of issues by choosing the right plant for the right place, by understanding what's going on in our landscapes, properly identifying pests, and then changing what we do. And again, the first thing to do is change how we garden. The second thing that you can do also is you can be sure that you're choosing plants that are disease resistant or pest resistant as well, looking for those if you have issues with that. But then also, if you do end up having to use some kind of a chemical, is that you're reading the label, you're following the instructions, you're protecting yourself with gloves and goggles and long pants and long sleeve shirts, whatever it requires on the label. And that you are also being careful about how you're using them with relation to the surrounding environment, too. So we could have a whole show on that. There's a lot of good information on our site. And Master Gardeners can also help with some instruction in that case, too.
I know the Extension website, Julie, has helped me out in this particular case. But a listener wants to know, do you know a good app I could use to help identify a tree after it leaves out?
Oh, I'm not super up on the apps, there are some good ones. I don't know any to recommend specifically, but you could try a couple of them. I think they're pretty nominal fees for using some apps. Some are free, like Google Image or Picture That. But you could try some of those and just see how well. I would say do it using a plant you know. You know, if you have a birch tree in your yard, a paper birch, then try to use an app to identify it, see how good it does. And the other thing you can use, too, is we have a plant selection program called Plant Elements of Design that has thousands of photos in it. So if you think you have a plant, maybe it's a maple, you can look through the maple section, see if you can identify it that way, too. But, yeah, apps are getting better as they get more information, more data to support the app. So I don't have a good recommendation of one in particular, though.
This listener wants to know the difference between dethatching and power raking. It's pretty much the same, isn't it?
I think they're pretty close to the same. And John said you do not need to thatch. He's been listening to the show.
Uh-huh.
And he said no thatching.
Don't worry about dethatching.
Yeah. Don't worry about dethatching.
All right. Texter says this, can you grow willow trees for branches in Minnesota? I'd like to do some garden obelisks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Willows are easy to grow. Willows are the kind of plants that you can take a cutting and stick it in a moist medium or in the ground, and they oftentimes will just root just fine on their own right there. We have shrubs that are willows, and that's what I'd probably recommend for creating those obelisks that you want. We had a wonderful artist that was out at the Arboretum a number of years, and they created a whole building made out of willows that were collected from a willow trial down in, I think it was down by Mankato area. But I would look for a willow shrub versus a willow tree, and then you can cut those back every year, and they'll come back. They do grow back from their roots. So, that's a great plan. Really good idea.
Julie, a couple of minutes to go on the show. Can I prune boxwood today?
So boxwood are maples. They're a native maple that we have here in Minnesota. And yes, you can prune those now. Just be aware that sap will probably leak from those cuts, and that's perfectly normal.
They're a native maple. I didn't know
they
that.
They are, yeah. As much as everybody's like, boo on box elders, they are a native maple.
No, this is boxwood.
Oh, boxwood. I thought they said box elders. Oh, no, I'm thinking boxwood. Oh, I apologize. Bushes. Okay. Okay. Back up. Rewind. I would hold off on doing the pruning of the boxwoods at this point. Just wait a couple of weeks until you start to see some new growth.
Okay. When can I start fertilizing my hybrid willows?
Well, again, the soil is still cold, and we don't want to put down needlessly, you know, put fertilizer down that's just going to sit there dormant and maybe blow around if we get a windy day. Just wait until that soil is workable. Take a look also at your fertilizer container. It may have a temperature requirement before you put it down. It might say the soil has to be 50 degrees or it has to be completely thawed out. So just kind of hold off on some of that. You don't need to do that right now.
See how many more we could fit in here.
Let's warm up.
Can I still prune my crabapple trees today?
Yes. Yeah, you sure can. Good day to do it.
Okay. How about, can I plant my hot peppers today?
Indoors, yes. Not outdoors.
Shrub rose, would like to trim back and or shape it. When's a good time?
When you start to see the buds start to swell and break, then you can go ahead and prune it.
Okay, one more. We're trying to get them all. Lightning round here. Have a snake plant. What's a snake plant?
Oh, Sansevieria. It's also called a Dracaena now.
Okay. One stem has a translucent spot on it, feels mushy. What causes this?
Ooh, that could be a bacteria. It could also be, it's probably too wet. And these are plants that really thrive on neglect. Dry conditions, low light, neglect. So it could be that your soil is a little bit too wet. Maybe transplant it into the same size pot.
Julie, we have to go. Oh, we're out of time.
That's so fast.
Always fun having you on the radio, for sure.
Great to talk with you and everybody.
And get to the arb.
Yes.
Get to that wonderful arboretum. And while you're having patience here during this time, get on the university, the extension website, extension.umn.edu. Julie, you and your colleagues put so many good things. So such a labor of love for that. It's just a great resource. Well, you enjoy the warm weather today, and we'll talk soon.
Too.
How's that?
All right. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks. Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M.
Cha-ching. That's the sound of Lowe's Labor Day savings. Get up to 45% off select major appliances and save up to an additional $100 on select laundry pairs. Plus, get 3 bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil for just $10. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in-store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
The Party Shop at Michaels has thousands of items starting at just 99 cents. Plus, get free inflation with purchase of select balloons. Want more party planning pro tips? You can hide anything behind streamers. Glitter is your best friend and possibly magical. If you ever wonder, do I have enough balloons? You probably don't. And most importantly, if Michaels doesn't have it, your party doesn't need it. Now you can party like a pro with the Party Shop at Michaels. Everything you need to celebrate anything.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.